Genesis chapter 5, just to take a look at this here. Genesis chapter 5, verses 22 and through 24, I want for us to just look at the example here of Enoch, and then also in chapter 6, the example of Noah. Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, and it says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters." Now, I want you to notice here, one of the things that every man should take serious is, after there's a child in the family, that's the serious time to begin walking with God. I take a notice of that. Notice it says, "And all the days of Enoch were 365 years." He lived to be 365 years old. You really believe that, preacher? Yeah, I do. I have a lot of reasons why I believe that. First of all, the Bible says it. Second of all, I believe there was a vapor canopy. It was a greenhouse effect that allowed people to live longer in those days. Plus, there wasn't a full effect of sin by this point. So people lived longer. You notice the lifespan get shorter after the flood and all that. But it says in verse 24, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." I believe this is a picture of the rapture that we have to look forward to. Someday, the Lord is going to, with his trumpet-like voice, say, "Come up hither." And we're going to be raptured up to him in heaven. Also, chapter 6, in the midst of the destruction of the world, the global flood. You really believe that, preacher? I do. And I'm emphasizing this because I have met several people here in recent years that believe that the first chapters, especially of Genesis, are nothing more than a fable. The life of Abraham, I was told by one man, he thought was a fable, was a story. A parable, actually, is the word that he used, a parable. This is literal history that we can learn from. Now, notice it says here in verses 8 and 9 of Genesis chapter 6, we saw this in relation to the storms that Noah experienced here. It says in verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations." And notice the last phrase, Noah what? He walked with God. Now, I want for us to understand that there's an aspect, or two aspects, I should say, of walking with God. First of all, our Bible study that we'll look at today, and then next week, Lord willing, we'll be looking at the fact that not only should we be studying God's Word, but we should also be having a time of prayer. Now, let me just say this. I believe that there's two-way communication that builds a relationship. You know, if I'm going to have a relationship with my wife, it works best if I talk to her and she talks to me. Man, you know how much we struggle with the communication aspect. You know, the wives often are more free to communicate than us men. You know, we'll say, yeah, sure, okay. You know, not a lot of communication. It goes both ways. And I believe spiritually that's true also. I am to have a relationship with God, and God wants a relationship with me. He talks to me, not audibly. He talks to me now through his word. The Holy Spirit takes the written word and speaks to my heart. But he also wants me to communicate with him through prayer. You notice it's a both and type of thing. It's a two-way communication. So this morning I want for us to consider this aspect of Bible study, studying the Word of God. First of all, we must receive the Bible as the Word of God. Even as I talked about earlier, there are many who think that this Bible is nothing more than a bunch of stories. Notice with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. While you're on the way there, I want to read for you Acts chapter 17, verse 11. We must first of all receive the Bible as the Word of God. Now let me just say this. I am so thankful that I can read this Bible and get help and encouragement from it. But there are many people who will sit down and read the Bible to find mistakes, to find errors, to find problems. Wow, what a life. You know, if you can't take a look at the Bible as the Word of God, or don't receive it as the Word of God, then you are not helped. Notice it says, let me read for you again, Acts 17:11. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind." They received the word of God with all readiness of mind. And second of all, it says they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. I challenge you again. I've said this before. I challenge you again. Study what I teach you. Don't just take it for yourself. In fact, that's why I encourage you to have an open Bible as much as possible. I want you to see what I'm saying is not my words, but what God says. Notice again, they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. Now, notice another example in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, as Paul is reminding the church of the ministry that they had. In fact, as you look at the book of Acts, it was a very short ministry. because of persecution, Paul had to leave town in a hurry. It says in First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which he heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Notice here, what I'm teaching you is not my words. Paul says here, what I taught you when I was there was not my words, but in fact it was the word of God. We have the word of God. Also, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is very foundational. If we do not receive or accept this Bible as the word of God, then we will not get any help from it. And God, the Holy Spirit, will not have liberty to speak to us from his word. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's start with verse 15. "That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." All right, so the Bible helps us to be saved. That's why I don't just, you know, say 1, 2, 3, repeat after me type of thing. I actually try to show them from the Bible when I'm presenting the gospel to them. Now, verse 16 and 17. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God." Now, pause there. I want you to be careful of some of the modern Bibles, because many times that first part of the verse there, verse 16, is sometimes interpreted or translated, I should say, as all the scriptures that are inspired by God. It leaves it open-ended that not all this Bible is inspired by God. That's a serious problem. Notice it says all scripture, the Old Testament, whether we understand it or not, the New Testament, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now, some believe that only the originals are inspired by God. Now, let me ask you this. Did Timothy have the originals of the Old Testament? No. Those were long gone by the time Timothy lived in the first century of Christianity. I want you to notice it's not just the originals, because there are many who will say, well, the Bible is without error in the originals. Well, we don't have the originals anymore. I believe we have an error-free Bible today. I taught a whole course on that. In fact, I examined all of the supposed errors in the Bible. And I believe if you study it out thoroughly, you find that the skeptics that have a problem with what the Bible says, they're looking for contradictions. None of those things are contradictions at all. So notice again, we need to understand that the Bible is indeed the Word of God and receive it as such. All right, with that said, we first of all must look at the Bible as a spiritual growth, or provide spiritual growth. First of all, it's bread. You don't need to turn there, but Matthew 4:4 says, man should not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's why I believe it's important for us to have an every word Bible. You see, God wants us to have every word that he's given to us. And again, that's another whole course, another whole study. But the Bible is bread. It's also milk. As newborn babes, 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, what? We are to desire the sincere milk of the word. If a baby is hungry, what's that baby start doing? It's going to let everybody know, I'm hungry. It's going to keep screaming until it gets that hunger satisfied. That's how we are to be with the Bible. Are we desirous of the sincere milk of the word? Notice with me also, meat, though. The Bible is also meat. Hebrews chapter 5. I'm thankful Saul is here. Berta is translating for him back there, so I'm excited about that. Someday I will be bilingual, Lord willing. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12. And then Aiko says, all right, then when are you going to learn Japanese? And I'm working on Hawaiian. I'm working on Spanish. I got Japanese. I need to learn Marshallese. That, by the way, that's one of the proofs, I believe, that Acts, tongues, is not in action today. Because if it was still in operation today, I could speak all these languages just like that, proclaiming the wonderful things of God. Instead, I have to learn them the hard way. All right, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." All right, so notice here the spiritual immaturity of these that Paul is writing to here. Notice, for this time, or by this time, I should say, you ought to be a teacher. Instead, you need the foundational principles all over again. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong what? Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You notice here again, those who have by reason of use. As you think about this, you have to learn through practice. Notice that's what it says in verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, maturity, even those who by reason of what? Use, using the Bible. Notice, as I use this book, then I'm able to get the meat. Now, what is milk? It is pre-digested food. Now, as I go to the refrigerator and get a gallon jug out of the refrigerator, I don't get a gallon of grass. What do I get? I get a gallon of milk. I don't particularly have much enjoyment with grass, but I do love a glass of milk, especially if I add a little of those that vegetable chocolate in there. I love chocolate milk. But you think about this, milk is pre-digested food. We, as we were driving in this morning, we saw some cows who were going through that process. You know, they gathered in the grass this morning and they're meditating on their food. You know, they process that into milk. Milk is pre-digested food. What you are getting right now is pre-digested food. I have already pre-digested this. What you end up doing with this, using the Bible, determines whether or not you get meat. What do you think about that? Notice by reason of use, right? So the Bible provides spiritual growth. It provides nourishment for our lives. The Bible also enables us to know God. Notice with me Isaiah chapter 55. The Bible also enables us to know God. God has given us this book so that we can get to know Him. Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 11. In the context of a passage dealing with the Bible, notice it says in Isaiah 55, verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now notice here, he then talks about the word of God. "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven," thankfully we don't have to deal with that in Hawaii, "and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." Notice, this passage starts with "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found," and it ends with the word of God. This is the book that God has given to us so that we get to know him. We can know him through his word. Also, the Bible is a sword that protects. The Bible is a sword that protects. You don't need to turn there to Ephesians chapter 6, but go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, but Ephesians chapter 6, in the passage of our warfare, spiritual warfare, it says that we have a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This book is a sword. And notice how Hebrews describes this sword in verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." I know Harry has a sword displayed in their home, but you think about a Roman sword. Roman sword was a little bit different than our swords that we would think of today. It had a double-edged sword, and it would literally be like a dagger for close-up combat. You notice here what the Bible says. The Roman sword was not as sharp, ultimately, as this book here. Why? Because this book pierces deeper than the physical body. It pierces to the soul and the spirit. It pierces to the inner man. You know, some people don't like that, you know, because as the preacher is preaching, you know, there's a thing called conviction. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit saying you need to deal with something there. I give it to you the way I get it. You see, there's a Holy Spirit that speaks to me also through this book. And this is a sword. And the Holy Spirit says, as he slices me open sometimes in the inner man, say, you need to deal with that. You need to deal with that. That's the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. It's a sword that not only protects, but it also pierces. Consider also we must study the Bible personally. There's several reasons why I want to suggest here this morning. First of all, to obey God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. You know why a lot of people don't like to study this book? You know, if anything, they have the reading assignment. Or, I checked it off, Lord, today. This Bible is not a textbook. In fact, we had to be reminded of that in Bible college. This is not a textbook. This is God's eternal word that he's given to us. It's not an assignment that I check off. But it says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. You see, it takes work to know what this book says. That needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I study the Bible personally to obey God. Second of all, to be ready with an answer. I want you to see 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, there's a couple of things I want to emphasize here. First of all, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And I believe as we have the Lord set apart in our hearts, as having first place in our hearts and lives, that's going to make a difference in how we live our lives. And if it's making a difference in how I live my life, then ultimately I think people are going to see that there's something different. I believe people need to see. You know, there's something different about you. What's different? Now, there's one thing called lifestyle evangelism. Lifestyle evangelism by itself does not work. Rarely do I have anybody come up to me and say, oh, you're so different. What must I do to be saved? They're not going to do that. You see, my lifestyle should back up my words, though. Notice here it says again in verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So if somebody comes to ask you, here's my pastor's phone number. Is that what you do? Or do you say, well, I don't know the answer to that, but let me check on it. Let me study that out. You don't always have to have the answer, but it does say, though, be ready with an answer. How are you ready with an answer, though? By being in this book every day. You know, I just studied that out not too long ago. Let me show you what God showed me. Always have an answer. That's why we need to be studying this Bible every day. To also have guidance for life. Psalm 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Now I find that out in Ocean View especially, it gets a little dark over there. As soon as that sun sets, it's pitch dark. There's no stoplight or street lights, I should say. You know, hardly any yard lights and all those things. It gets pretty dark. Every once in a while I walk out after dark on the property there and it's really dark unless the moon is shining. So what you need is a light, right? That's how the Bible helps us. It's like a light that guides us on our path. Let me just point out, though. In Bible times, they would often put a lantern. Of course, they didn't have flashlights. They would put a lantern on the end of a stick. And so it would only light the step in front of them. You see, I can't go on last year's Bible reading. I need light for today. Notice, God's word is a light to our path, to guide us. Also, it's to keep us from sin. Notice what it means, Psalm 119, longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11. Another reason why we need to study the Bible daily is to keep us from sin. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. Wherewithal or how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, how many of you are familiar with Awana? All right, several people. There are verses I learned in Awana years and years ago that still come back to my mind from time to time. Now, it's not enough just to memorize it, though. We're to meditate on it. Notice, by taking heed unto God's word and hiding his word in our hearts to keep us from sin, but also to renew our minds. Ephesians 4:23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Romans 12:2 says, we're to not be conformed to this world. We're to not allow this world to shape us into its mold. But instead, we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need to fill our minds with this book so that the things that used to be in our minds that are not right with God are replaced. Renewing of the mind. Again, those are important reasons why we need to be studying the Bible. Now, let me give you some helpful ideas here this morning. First of all, make an appointment with God. Make an appointment with God. We'll make an appointment with a doctor. We'll make an appointment with various individuals, various professionals, but we never have an appointment with God. Shouldn't he be the most important appointment? You know, the Bible says we have an appointment with death someday. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. You know, we have a very important appointment someday with death. And I believe the only way we're going to be prepared for that appointment is if we have a daily appointment with our Heavenly Father. Be consistent in your time with God. Have a set time whenever possible. Also, read the Bible prayerfully. I brought in an example of this. I've mentioned this from time to time. As I read the Bible, I don't just read off an assignment. Actually, what I do personally is I go through the New Testament several times a year. And I use an acrostic that I was taught as a teenager, A-C-T-S. A stands for adoration of God, praise of God. C stands for confession of sin. T, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for the blessings from God, good and bad. We're to be thankful for bad things in our lives. But S, supplication for needs, prayer request for needs. And what I do is I pray through the New Testament. And in the margin of my New Testament, I put A-C-T-S. This is my prayer list right here. Not only that, but I also have little maps of the world glued right into my New Testament. This New Testament is my prayer list. This keeps me from just having an assignment to read my Bible in the morning. This is my prayer list. So I incorporate it right into my prayer time. So read the Bible prayerfully, but also study the Bible, or study what you do not understand. Let me give you a couple of tools that I go to quite a bit. First of all, Strong's Concordance. A concordance basically is a list of Bible words, but in the back of Strong's, there's actually a dictionary. You can actually look up words you do not understand. Let me give you another tool. It's sometimes a little pricey, but I actually have it online now. Webster's 1828 Dictionary. I am convinced we don't need a different Bible. We just need an understanding of the English language. Webster's 1828 Dictionary actually takes or uses King James words and defines them. In fact, some people say, well, the King James Bible is so hard to read. The King James Bible actually tests at about a fifth grade reading level. Because we're being dumbed down, that's not so true anymore. But it actually is lower reading test than some of the modern Bibles. I am convinced it's not a different Bible we need. I'm convinced it's an understanding of what God has said. In fact, I've heard it said this way, it's not the things I don't understand that bother me. It's the things that I do understand that bother me. In fact, the these and the thous are there for a reason. I want you to understand that the King James Bible translators had the these and the thous to show singular pronouns. For example, Psalm 90, verse 1. There's a singular pronoun used there in relation to God. In fact, I want you to see that. I want to show this to you. Psalm 90, verse 1. In Ephesians 6, there's a plural pronoun used. Ye stand fast. We're not standing against the devil by ourselves. We're standing together as a church. Psalm 90, verse 2 is the verse I was looking for. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou, singular, hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou singular art God. Anybody remember what I said God represents in the Old Testament? What Hebrew word? Elohim. What's significant about Elohim? Plural. Singular, plural. What's that sound like? Three persons in one Godhead. There are some false teachers today who say, well, there's no evidence of the Trinity in the Bible. There's all kinds of evidences of the Trinity. Thou singular art God Elohim, plural. Plural name for God. Thou art God. I want you to think about this. If this has a plural pronoun here, you are God, then you have three gods. All of these things. Notice with me Psalm 12 as we close. Psalm 12. I want you to understand that God has given us an amazing, miraculous book. Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. In light of all that God has done to give us the Word of God, we put it on a shelf and I'll read it during the week. Notice it says in Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. And again, that singular pronoun. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. We have the inspired, preserved Word of God today. I could show you all kinds of reasons why I've chosen to use the King James Bible. I could show you all kinds of reasons. That's why I'm just encouraging today, be careful of all these modern Bibles that come out. I have quotes to prove that it's all about money. Why is it that they come out with a new translation about every 6 months? It's all about money. I'm convinced of that. You see, this is not a copyrighted book here. There's no copyright on the King James Bible. You can copy the entire Bible. You can print it off all you want to. There's a copyright on the NIV, though. In fact, you're limited to like 500 words that you can quote without a permission slip from the publisher for the NIV and all these modern Bibles. God wants us to have His words. I want you to think about this. God has given us a supernatural book. Are we using it daily in our lives to be right with Him? Father, I pray that you'd help us with these things. How many times we neglect your word? How many times? Father, I think the people understand this morning. I feel very strongly about your book, about your word. And Father, it's not just in English. Lord, I want your inspired, preserved words in Spanish and Marshallese and all these other languages around the world. Lord, I thank you for people who have sacrificed their lives. Lord, I think of Tyndale. William Tyndale, who was burned at the stake so that we could have the Bible in English. Lord, I think of so many who literally lost their lives for us to have this book in our hands today. And Father, we throw it on a shelf or on a table and hardly ever open it. God, help us to fall in love with this book, to use it to get to know you better each and every day. Pray in Jesus' name, amen.